Nord.
We keep hearing about what will happen if we vote to leave the EU. But let's think for a moment about what will happen if we vote to remain. Because the EU is not a settled dispensation. It's constantly evolving. Voting to stay in is not the same as voting to stay put. On the contrary, it's voting to remain on a conveyor belt. So here are some of the consequences. Number one, more political integration. Now, we can't say that the Eurocrats are not being open and frank about this. In an official document published last summer called the Five Presidents Report, they spoke very candidly about the need for fiscal, economic, and political union. And because the only legal avenue open to them is the EU as a whole, rather than some subgroup of Eurozone countries, those things will apply to the United Kingdom too. More bailouts. Now, we're assured that there is an opt-out from future bailouts, but we've been told that before. The Prime Minister assured us before the last election that he had a guarantee that we would never again have to bail out the euro. And he had that guarantee in writing, in the clearest language that lawyers could devise. But when Greece needed its third bailout, the agreement was ripped up and Britain was drawn into it. How many more times is that going to happen if we signal that we're never leaving? Number three, a European army. Again, we can't say we haven't been warned. The European Commission formally says this is not just a political option, but a strategic necessity. The German government, the Spanish government, and others have all called for quick action on this. It is an obsession of the current president of the Commission, Jean-Claude Juncker. Again, once we've signaled that we're not leaving, you think we're going to be able to put the brakes on that? Number four, more rule by Euro judges. Since the recent extension of the EU's authority through the Charter of Fundamental Rights and Freedoms, a whole swathe of areas of national life have been open to the rulings of the European Court of Justice. To take just one example, we were not able to deport Abu Hamza's daughter-in-law at the expiry of her sentence for a conviction because that would have violated her rights as an EU citizen. This is just beginning, but the jurisprudence is growing, and it will grow a lot further if we vote to stay in. Number five, shrinking Europe. We still don't have a free trade agreement with Canada. Why? Well, Brussels won't sign a free trade agreement with Canada until it resolves an unrelated dispute about visas for Romanians wanting to visit Canada. We still don't have a free trade agreement with Australia. Why? Because it's all being held up by some Italian tomato growers. Now, the Italian tomato growers may be right or wrong. I don't know enough about the case. But how have we ended up in a position where we can't sign trade agreements with our oldest friends and allies because of the interests of a continental country? The price of not being able to sign those trade deals grows higher with every passing month as the EU dwindles as a share of our total trade. As recently as 1980, the 28 countries in the EU were making up 30% of the world's economy. Today, it's 17%. Number six, giving up on meaningful reform. Don't imagine that you can cast a qualified Remain vote. Every ballot to stay in will be taken in Brussels as enthusiastic endorsement. It'll be taken as a round of applause from the people of the most sceptical member state. You're doing a great job, boys. Carry on. If we vote that way, we are letting down everyone in the rest of the EU who had hoped that a no vote in a large member state might jolt the Eurocrats out of their disastrous introversion and might have created a different kind of European Union, one based on respecting the diversity and democracy of its member nations. Number seven, endorsing the Federalists. A vote to stay in will be a reward for Jean-Claude Juncker, who tells us that if it's serious, you have to lie, for Guy Verhofstadt, who barely troubles to hide his disdain and contempt for for the British people. It'll be a vote in favour of all of those Michelin-starred, gourmandising Eurocrats and their auxiliaries in Britain. It'll be a vote in favour of Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and all the megabanks and multinationals bankrolling the Yes campaign. And they will take it as a vote to carry on doing what they're doing now. Number 8. No border control. No border control now or ever. Say goodbye to any chance of determining for ourselves who can cross our borders and settle in our country or in what numbers. Number 9. We will be treated with contempt. For decades, the British bulldog has been snarling and barking and yapping, and yet, when the moment comes, with a whimper, we would have voted for the existing terms. Look at the renegotiation package. Think of what happened. For 2 years, the Prime Minister tried to get a fundamental overhaul out of the EU. And yet, if nothing else, the Brussels institutions prove beyond doubt that they are unwilling or unable to reform. Ask yourself just one question. If this is how the EU treats its second largest financial contributor now, before we cast our votes, how would we be treated the day after voting to remain? Number 10. We'd be opting for fear over hope. Now, the Remain side hasn't had anything positive to say throughout this campaign. They haven't said anything positive about Britain. They haven't even really said anything positive about the EU. All they've done is feed us fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And what would it say about us if that worked? If we, the country which liberated Europe and thereby created the circumstances which allowed the EU to come into existence in the first place, if we, the fifth largest economy in the world, gave in to the idea that we couldn't thrive under our own institutions, what would that say about us? What kind of people do they think we are?